Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles and San Francisco. I am Maureen Enner, your host for California Connection today. I'm flying solo. Bob Lang is. He spent a week in New York with Street.com, Real Money, and he's one of the stars of CNBC. So he's had a busy week, and I am going to take the reins today. I think I can handle it. I've done radio by myself, and I've had to host a few of our California Connection shows on my own because Bob is really the brains of the show. We jokingly say that I'm the Vanna White. I just spin the numbers. He's the brains behind the whole operation. And in case you don't remember, Bob Lang is the president and CEO of Explosive Options, and he is a regular contributor on Real Money, Street.com, CNBC, he's on the Jim Cramer. He just had some really great reports. Go to CaliforniaConnection.net or go to our Facebook page and see the reports that he did for Cramer on oil. I have been arguing with a few people back and forth on my Facebook page, which I continually do. And I do love when you guys friend me and come on and ask me questions. So, you know, bring it on. But the president does not decide how much our gas is. Oil is a traded commodity. And maybe if you go and look at these reports, you'll understand that. And gas is expected to go up about 30 cents in California next week because it costs more money to manufacture in certain times of the year. It's getting to the busy season. People will be driving through the summer. And so, the president really doesn't have anything to do with that. But let's talk about California. Our show, California Connection, as everyone knows, our wonderful listeners, we talk everything California, politics, Hollywood, gossip. We have great guests. We really try to cover what is important in California. California is one of the major leaders, obviously, in the country, and it's the sixth largest producer. It could be its own country. California is very vital to our nation. I'm a fifth generation native San Franciscan, and California is my home, and it's the only place I've ever known. So Bob as well. Bob is an LA native, and that is why we come together every Friday at 4 to bring you guys connected, and we find the best people and the best information. I think that information is the most important thing that you can have, and I have felt like I've been blessed with a chance to be in the media and bring people really good information and really good people. So today, as I am alone, and Bob really is disappointed, I did talk to him last night. We were going over the debate, him and I. It was kind of funny, the two of us going back and forth over the debate. So he is sorry that he's not here, but he'll be with us next week. So today we have Catherine Nance. Catherine has an amazing story. She's also a native to California. She's a native to Stockton, which is in the Central Valley. So Bob is in LA, Catherine's in the middle, and I'm north. So you've got really almost the whole state covered today, except for Bob's not here. So, but Catherine is an 18-year veteran of the Stockton Police Department, and Stockton PD is no joke. It's a tough neighborhood. It's not a lollipop suburbs. She's a sergeant. All of you know that I'm a blue wife. You know that my husband, I'm a proud wife of a police officer who's 19-year veteran. So I do all I can to support my blue wives, national and local, and our police. And Catherine is running for the ninth seat, the Republican congressional seat, the ninth district in California. You are going to try to push McNerney out. Catherine, welcome to California Connection.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, thank you for coming, and thank you for putting up with my intro. Usually it goes a little bit more smoother when I have Bob to banter back and forth. So I kind of had to wing that one. But for people who don't know, for all of our people, because the show goes everywhere, people don't realize California is the sixth largest economy in the world. That was what I was trying to say in my intro, and it just wouldn't come out. California is the sixth largest economy in the world. We used to be the breadbasket to the entire country and most of the world. We don't produce nearly what we used to as far as agriculture, and the United States basically doesn't even produce anything anymore. But California in the Central Valley is the backbone of the state of California. Would you agree with that, Catherine?
Absolutely. We have a very, very diverse economy here. A lot of my district is really based in agriculture, a lot of farming, really, really dependent on the Delta Waterway, but it is a huge economic, it is huge for economic growth in this area also.
Right. I attended a conference, gosh, it was probably back in maybe 04 at the in Sacramento, and Stuart Varney, who is actually a good friend of mine, he's a Fox Business News analyst, he hosted this event, and I went to listen to it, and he spoke about the development that was going to come up, that was going on in the Central Valley, how California is now pushed so far inland, because as you know, everybody lives on the coast, and then you the farther you come inland, the cheaper it gets, and then the more development that there is. And he was talking, and this was, like I said, back in 04, about how there's going to be another major airport that will be in the Central Valley. There's going to be major infrastructure that is going to be coming from Central Valley. Now, we went through a pretty rough patch in 08, as everybody did in the United States, but California really got hit hard, and your area really got hit hard. Tell me how you feel. What do you think about that? And do you see that kind of growth coming?
You know, we're really lucky here in the Central Valley, and especially in Stockton. We have a huge freshwater seaport. So we have the Port of Stockton, which is just an amazing commodity for us. It transfers large ships, and it brings everybody in. We also have rail and an airport all locally here. So for our infrastructure and for our ability to transport goods and services, it's amazing here. And it's a little-known commodity that a lot of people don't know, that San Joaquin County and Stockton really does have a stronghold on, with the airport bringing right very, very close, right with the railways and right with the port. We're very, very easy to transport goods and services. And a lot of people don't even know that that exists here.
Yeah, a lot of people do not think of Stockton as a port city, but it comes off the Delta. And isn't it the American River? Is it part of the American River, or is it all Delta water?
So the Delta will go between the American and the Sacramento River, and that's right outside of San Joaquin County. So the Delta brings the water in from the ocean, ship and goods and everything else comes in with it. And then through the Delta waterways will bring us right through the rivers. We have both the American and the Sacramento River that flow into it.
Right. So, it's, you know, again, it's a port city that people think that it's in the Central Valley, but there is water. Water is liquid gold in California. Bob and I have done many shows with many assembly leaders and senators and Congress, and we've really, you know, luckily we got some rain, but Bob and I really covered the drought issue last year with some pretty big heavy hitters here in California about the necessity to build reservoirs and not the train to nowhere. So Catherine, tell us, you are, which I bow down to you as being you're holding the thin blue line as a female, and please, listeners, go to Catherine Nance for Congress and look at her page and look at just the amazing things that she does. So you grew up in Stockton, your mom and your dad. Tell us, you grow up, what made you want to become a police officer?
You know, it was kind of just a very interesting story. I actually kind of fell into my job. I absolutely love it. But at that time, I was a young single parent. I had two small children. I was a teen mom, and I had my daughter when I was 20 shortly thereafter. And I needed a job with benefits and something that I could work nights and would accommodate a schedule that where I could raise kids and be home with them, which was my primary goal. And I looked for jobs in the city at my mom's suggestion and applied for a police job, and I had some interest, but I just wasn't really sure. And as it went on and as my training went through, it's a career that I absolutely love, and it just pulled at me, and I never thought I would get away from it. I actually, you know, 2 years ago, never would have thought I would have left this job, because it was kind of my life. And now looking at different options and things outside of that, it's a little scary, but it's very exciting. But my love is always going to be police and police work. It's just an amazing career field. I would get to work with just people that put their lives on the line every single day to make this a safer city.
And you do so much for the community. I was so impressed with your website for Congress and everything that you do and the dollars that you have raised in your tenure being a sergeant with Stockton PD. I don't know a police officer that doesn't give back. I mean, I know there's bad ones. I know it's just a bad time right now with police, but I support it 100%, obviously because of my husband, but really in every city, whether it's an inner city or a suburb or a city like Stockton, police are always, always there for the community. And you do so with your Christmas, the Christmas presents that you give to the children and your foundation and things that you do. It's just amazing.
One of the hardest things for a police officer to do is to take any sort of credit for things. We really don't like to be in the spotlight for donating or for giving back or for volunteering. And it's really hard for me to get my members to take some of that, like to put it up on my Facebook page. They don't like it. We've done it for years. We've donated. We've donated our services. We've donated money and time. But really, the goal is it's really hard for us to put that out there publicly. It's not something that we like to do. It's more of a private thing. But I do think that especially with the climate now, with some of the anti-law enforcement sentiments that are out there and the way that some police officers are viewed, it's really important for us to focus on the positives. And so bringing light to some of the things that we're already doing really does help with that. And it does show that we are one with our community, and that's our big goal. That was our community. Support, we're not going to survive. It's not going to be something that we can do without the community. We have to work with our communities to be successful in making everything safer.
And let's be honest, who else but a police officer in the neighborhood knows the needy, right? I mean, it's heartbreaking what you guys have to do.
It's absolutely, it just tugs at your heartstring every day, all the things that that we see in the violence and the hurt that people go through. And whether it's making sure that they get the services they need and doing that outreach and making sure that we have people in the community that can come forward and help or helping ourselves or just providing that safety and security right then, that's what the job mostly entails. It's an opportunity for us to find people when they're in their worst place and to bring them up and to make them, to get them to a better place, a place where they're going to be successful.
Exactly. So your pulse, so you're on the pulse. You know exactly where to go and who needs what, and you know how to do it. And I don't know a police officer that has not given back to their community or the community that they patrol. So it's, you guys are just, it's a quiet, as I say to my husband, he's a quiet strength. And so are you, Catherine. It's a strength that nobody can understand. I don't have it. I couldn't do it. But it's just an amazing human being that can go out and do what you guys do every day because I am married to it. And I've only been married for 2 years, so I still like my husband, so I still say nice things like this. But I kind of love him right now because we've only been married 2 years, but I say that jokingly. But you don't know until you're married to a cop or you're the child of a cop. You know, it's a different way of life. Your life is just not the same way. And with me being so exposed in the media and, you know, I choose to do that and I choose to not live in fear and I choose to keep my name and my show and let people know what and who I am. And a lot of blue eyes, you know, have told me, oh, you shouldn't do that. And I said, you know, I can't let them win. This is what he married. I was this before we got married. I can't go into, you know, and it just takes a special person to do what you do. And I thank you as a California resident, and I'm sure our listeners, all of our listeners love police. So what drove you to decide to run for this seat and knock McNerney out? This is going to be, this is going to be an interesting next couple of months for you.
It is. It's been a great run so far, and it's just going to continue to get better, I think. You know, it really started with looking at the lack of leadership that we had here and the choices and the decisions that were being made. And the votes and the bills and the laws that were coming through, I'm watching and I'm thinking, this isn't what my community here believes in, and this isn't what my community here needs. I know this area well. I know the farmers, I know the business owners, I know everybody that lives and works here, and I know how they feel, and I don't feel that the decisions that were being made is truly how they felt. And I felt that we were underrepresented, and I didn't like that feeling. And that's what's always pushed me for change, is not liking the way things were going right then. If everything was going perfect and wonderful in the world, there'd be no reason for us to jump up and try and change it. And that's where I was at. And this is really, I think, an opportunity to make a huge impact on this community and to bring a value system and the way of life that we believe in here back to the norm, back to what we all want to see happen. And I'm really excited about that. It's going to be a hard campaign. It's going to take a lot of support from everybody out there, all of the listeners and all of the voters and all of the residents of Stockton and Lodi and Antioch and Brentwood and Oakley. All of them need to pull together to get me elected, but I think it's absolutely the time to do that.
Well, I don't know if you realize, Catherine, when I met you at the GOP event back in December, I was living in Danville, and now I live in Brentwood. So you are going to be my congresswoman.
I'm so excited about that. I know. I saw you move right into the district. I think you did that just for me. But
I'm very happy to know you're here. Yeah, I am actually going to try to make your fundraiser next week at, on the 29th, the pizza.
Yes.
I'm definitely going to try to make it out there for that for sure. And we'll do a little cover for you on the show next Friday. But so McNerney, how long has he been in Congress? How long has he been the District 9 congressman?
The short answer is just too long. It's been a long time. And we're really ready for that change here. And so it's time. We've had a lot of very close elections. Just moving forward, it's just time to get those closer and closer, and this is the one that's going to overtake him.
Well, it happened here in, it happened in Dublin when Eric Swalwell, he upseated,
yes.
I can't even think of the guy he upseated, I can't even remember, but he was there for like 40 years and didn't even live in California, he lived in Maryland, and it was basically this new fresh face came out, and he won, he beat him. Who was that? This is terrible, but I can't remember who he beat. But it's really kind of a similar situation, isn't it? McNerney's been there forever. Everybody just votes for him.
It definitely is. And I think we're seeing that on a bigger level here with people that are kind of ready for a lot of things to be different and ready for people that aren't afraid to speak what they really feel and to speak for them and to speak loud about what's going on and what the problems are and not just go along with everything that's happened, the status quo. And I think
so we've lost our connection with Catherine. She's going to call back into the studio. Just when it was getting good, we dropped. So let me see if we can make sure I can get somebody to get her back on. She's calling back in.
Are you there?
Yeah, sorry, you got drawn. I'm sorry, this happens. It's technology, it's California. We're right next to Silicon Valley, but we can't get good internet.
It happens sometimes. Cell phone calls drop. You just never know, right?
Yeah, I just pick up. Listen, I don't ever stop talking, so don't worry. I got you covered.
I figured you picked right up.
Yeah, so we were talking about McNerney has been there forever. I don't know how long, 20 years, 30 years? And has he been there that long, or is it more? As long as I can
2006, it's been about 10 years, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so it's time for a change. So as you were talking about that, you know, now people are, hello, look at the GOP, look at Trump, look at what is happening. You better believe people are sick and tired of the same old, same old.
You're right. That's exactly what we're getting around here. And we're getting a lot of talk from people that are independents, declined estates, lots of different people that are willing to step up and say, hey, what can we do different? How can we make some change?
Yes, I think you have the prime. This is just I couldn't think of a better climate for you to be in to upbeat somebody like this.
You're right. It is definitely a climate that's good. There's a lot of just excitement about the election, about people being interested, about people being curious about what's going on. And then the media is sometimes we don't like the media. We don't like the things that they put out there, but they are enticing people to be more involved and to have opinions and really creating strong opinions, which allows for conversation. And conversation is what we all need to figure out where we're at and what we believe in. And I think when we start talking about it at our common core, we actually have more similarities than we want to believe sometimes, but a lot of us really do have very good value systems that we want our elected officials to stand behind.
Exactly. We really, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, we all want a nice, safe, wonderful place to live where we're not taken advantage of, where we're not getting raked over the coals with from the IRS, where we're able to just, you know, have a nice life. Now, I do a show prior to this show on iHeartRadio, a national syndicated show that I do, and we talked about this very same thing, what Trump has done to turn everybody on their ear, basically. The only thing that I can even think of that is marginally similar, and I'm not saying that he's a Reagan, he's not, but I was 17 years old when Reagan was elected to the presidency, and that is what got me involved in politics, student debate, speech and debate, made me want to go work in an industry that was male dominated. In the 80s, more women went to work under Reagan than any time other in history. He was the first president to appoint a female Supreme Court justice. I mean, I'm seeing a little bit of that right now, because in 1979, the United States, we were in serious trouble. Their banking system was in trouble. Just everything was in trouble. And along came Reagan on this white horse. Now, there is no other Ronald Reagan. There never will be. But Trump is doing the same kind of thing. Do you feel that?
I do. I feel like it's, and you've mentioned a couple things that really do make me feel like this is the time. You see how many female candidates are out there right now, how many women are involved in politics in ways that they never have been before, and how is this is becoming the norm. This is where we're at, and this is what our country and our society expects. And I think that that's just a wonderful place to be in as a woman and just as a person here to say that this is where we're at now, and we're able to take that in consideration. We have to thank Reagan for doing that, for opening some of those doors and really making this a place that we're all welcome and we can all have the jobs that we have. Because years and years ago, people wouldn't have been a police officer like I am now, and they wouldn't have been easily accepted into this world where I'm at. And so I love that about our society, that ever-changing part of it. And I think that a lot of it is that conversation that people are willing to have now that maybe they never would have had before, and opening that up.
Well, it takes a fresh person like you and like Trump, who I have no problem with him. He is saying what the political conservative radio talks about, Rush Limbaugh, he is saying what they have been saying for the last 20 plus years. He is finally, we have a candidate who's actually saying those things. And I don't have a problem with it. I honestly don't. And I think that's why the establishment and the media and everyone doesn't know what to do, because he's so not the cookie cutter candidate. And I just couldn't think of a better time for someone like you to be trying to make a huge change in your district. I see it as just the perfect storm.
I agree. You know, some of the things that we've seen here, and the things that we've seen from, especially my elected official right now, Mitt Romney, with Iran, and the idea that we can stop terrorism by promoting peace and understanding, those things aren't working. And we need people that are going to say the things, the hard words to everybody, that are going to say, this isn't working. Peace and understanding isn't going to work with terrorists. We absolutely have to take a strong stance, just like we take on the street, just like police officers on the street are taking hard stances against criminals. We understand that there's a time and a place for programs and for learning and for change, but the time isn't when people are in imminent danger. And those are the things that our country, our society, everybody here wants to hear and wants everybody to say. And that's where we're at right now. And we need people that are going to say those hard words. Sometimes it's not nice. People don't like it. People don't like to hear that, but it's absolutely necessary.
One of my mottos is the truth hurts. And for the last 20 years, it's just been this case, sarah, sarah. It's just, you know, it's time for change. I mean, I just cannot believe what Donald Trump has done. We were discussing earlier that in Nevada, he won the state of Nevada in the caucus. It was the first time in history that Nevada had ever seen that many people vote in a caucus. I mean, that is something that is really, I mean, and I'm saying this to the people who laughed last summer about Trump ever even getting past, you know, his first political fundraiser or whatever. You know, I mean, when he rode into the border with his trucker hat on and all that, I mean, everybody was laughing at him. And look at him now. I mean, and people are ready and they're mad. I was trying to explain this to my son, who's 25. He works on Capitol Hill. And they don't get it. I said, well, you know what? You haven't been raked over the coals by the IRS yet. And you haven't, you know, had the frustrations that we've had on the 50-something. You know, you're a young kid. He's tapping into something that I just think is amazing. I love history. I love politics. I was the biggest political junkie all through school, but I was a popular girl. But I was like, oh, I love all of this stuff so much. I can't wait for the debates. Can't wait to see what's happening. I couldn't wait to see him and Christie today. I mean, it's just so exciting. And I think that everybody is feeling this way. And that's why I feel so much excitement for you. So tell our listeners, give me some of your platform. What are you looking to change? What are you going to do, Catherine, for the district?
You know, one of my big platforms is absolutely crime and safety, and I think it's twofold. I think we have to look at the crime locally and what we're doing to address that. And I have a unique ability to talk about crime and how what causes crime and what causes people to be in the position that they're in. Look at our jails. Our average literacy rate in jail is fourth grade. So a fourth grade reading level, that's what's in our county and jails, federal jails, state jails. How is anybody at a fourth grade level going to be successful in life? And our education system's just failing. And that's one of the big things. And I really truly believe that when you fix education, you're going to fix so many other things. And I think education has become too overreaching. I think that local communities know how to educate their children. Mm-hmm. I think we've taken a lot of power away from the local communities and the school boards and the superintendents of schools and teachers themselves to really educate children. And not only that, there's nonprofits out there, there's faith-based groups, people that are willing to help our children learn to read. No matter what we do, we absolutely have to bring our education level up. We cannot have people with a fourth grade reading level, because what we're going to end up with is more people in prison. And so while it's a long-term goal and it's lofty, I think that that is a huge part impact on our crime. And I think that that's one of the things that we have to absolutely start with. And then with foreign policy, I am absolutely appalled at the Iran nuclear deal. I'm appalled at the way that we're treating Israel. I am a huge supporter of Israel, and I just absolutely believe that that was done wrong. And one of McNerney's biggest weak spots, I think, right now, and one of the things that he did that I absolutely cannot believe, was to show his support for the Iran deal before it was even finalized, before the words were even all the way done on the papers. And to support that is appalling to me.
Trump did say last night during the debate that the one thing he's going to do is give the states back their education. It's got to be dealt on the state level. This Common Core and all this is all going back. It's not going to be a federal issue. That should just be a no-brainer. Like you just said, your own community knows how to educate your own community. Why is the federal government involved in local schools? Doesn't make any sense. Totally.
And that's some of
the
things that drives me crazy. I wonder all the time, how did we get to this place? Well, I think we got to this place by our federal government taking over things that they shouldn't have, that should go back to states, that should go back to local governments, that we should all be held accountable for in a smaller level. We need to hold our own cities and communities and counties accountable for things that they should be responsible for and allow the federal government to do what they need to do, which is work on foreign policy, to work on our safety in that level, and not worry about what local schools are doing. And I believe that we all want our kids to be educated. We all want them to succeed. But we can't take on too much as a federal government. We have to give that back to local governments.
Well, and again, Trump, he said it last night, anything the government has touched, this is the mess. The VA, Social Security, the IRS. I mean, I think that it's been this whiny, we need education, and they just throw money at these programs, and the federal government develops these, you know, federal plans for education, and they just dump money into it, and nobody knows what's going on. It's just such a mess. It is just such a mess.
And where is the government wasting all that? If all you're doing is putting money into things and you don't have the ability because it's now too broad reaching and it's out of your control, how do you have any ability to have any oversight to see if these programs are actually working and are being successful? Where's the waste in that? And how much waste are we spending? We talk about how much money the government's spending, but where's the waste and where can we fix that problem? And we can't if we don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, I was very impressed with what he said last night about the waste and fraud in government, and that he named off three or four federal agencies he'd get rid of right away, and one of them was giving the schools back to the state and county and local cities. It's not the job of the federal government. It just gets back to big government Democrats thinking, you know, cradle to grave, the utopia that the government can take care of everything and it can't. You know, Cuba. Do you know that Cuba has the highest educated people? They have the highest, their literacy rate is the highest in the world. I was made aware
really?
Of this last night. Yeah, I was made aware of this last night. However, they have, you know, probably as many people as we do in California living in Cuba. I mean, it's a small, small country. But, I mean, if Cuba can do that, what is wrong with us? It is embarrassing.
Well, that's the big problem with it. It's embarrassing. Some of these public fights that we're having and the way that we are acting as a nation, that's my problem with it. It's embarrassing. How do the other countries view us? How do our enemies view us? And where are they seeing just our weaknesses being played out? And we need to be stronger than that, and we need to be way bigger than this is ever going to be. And if Cuba can have highly educated people, we should too, and we need to figure out how we can do this better than what we're doing. And throwing money at it isn't working.
Yeah, and you should use that, Catherine. I'd like you to use that in your campaign. That's a very good thing. If Cuba can produce the highest literacy rate in the world, what in the heck are we doing? I mean, that was, you know, I just, like I said, I'm a nerd. I read everything. I'm always figuring things out. And that was something that I learned just last night. So for foreign policy, yeah, totally with you on the Iran deal. And, you know, I don't understand liberals who support Obama, and liberal Jews, actually, who support Obama when he has done what he has done to Israel. I mean, he has literally shut the front door on Netanyahu's face. And no, you're not coming in. You're not welcome.
And you
here.
Know that, and you know, McNerney was one of the congressmen that boycotted that speech. He was one of the congressmen that did not
God.
Go to Netanyahu's speech. And that was a huge eye opener for me. If you're going to boycott a speech and you're not going to go, and you're just going to absolutely say, no, there's no way I'm going to do that. What are we showing? How are we showing that we're going to work with countries and support them? Israel is a huge ally for us. We absolutely have to support them. To not go was appalling. Yeah, he was one of the ones that boycotted the speech.
You know, it's just the divisiveness that has happened under Obama is just unreal. It's just ridiculous. But on the other hand, the GOP can't pick a horse. They better get their act together and decide, because I called Trump in 2012 when I saw him at CPAC and he gave a speech and I was like, whoa. And I called it back then, and that was in 2010 when I saw him. And I was hoping he would run in 2012, but he didn't. So I have seen this coming. I've worked on Wall Street. He's somebody that I've always been around and looked up to and read his books and The Art of the Deal. You know, he's part of my life, actually. I don't know him personally, but I see this awakening that, first of all, government is not that it's not that hard to understand. It's money in, money out, right? Everybody's giving him a big deal. You're not a politician. Well, I beg to differ. He like you said last night, I've hired more people than you've ever had in your life. You know, I mean, just like you, you're a common sense. You've seen your community. You grew up there. You know what it needs. You've got you have your finger on the pulse. I'm just so happy for you. I'm so excited.
I am really excited too, you know, and the support and the positive energy that has come out of this is just amazing to me. The amount of people that have come out of the woodwork and just are really excited. I had just an amazing conversation with somebody today that I never would have ran into as a police officer, probably never would have talked to, that just opened my eyes as to so many things that are going on with our community and the way that people believe and the passion that people have right now. And that's one of the things that I'm so excited about, is how much passion people really have. And whatever's driving that is just beautiful to me. And really, you know, you're right. We have to come together, and we're going to have a Republican nominee here, and we have to have some sort of change, because what do we have on the other side of this ticket? We have, you know, a socialist and a liar. That's what we have on the other side. So we have to figure it out. And we need more Republicans in government. That I truly believe that. I know that you believe that. I know that there's a lot of people out there to believe that. You know, I've been a proud Republican for a long time, and I'm just very, very happy to have this opportunity to keep pushing forward these ideas that we all have and the conservative values that I think we believe in.
Yeah, I agree. It's why I do what I do, Catherine. It's why I take to the radio every Friday, Bob and I, and we talk economics and policy. And, you know, Bob is a brilliant man. He's a brilliant trader. I've known him for years. We've worked together. I don't call myself brilliant. I just happened to have fallen into a career that was very, I did very well in it. And we chose to, we've been on the air almost a year now, and we chose to do this because we felt so passionate about bringing good, solid information out to people. Because information is power. If you don't have it, you don't have any power.
Very true. And I think, and that's what, one of the exciting things, you mentioned it earlier, how many people turned out in Nevada to vote. And I hope that more and more and more people turn out to vote. I want everybody to vote. It's, you know, it's such a right that we have here, and everybody that's eligible and everybody that can should get out and vote and say what they believe in, because it's such an amazing opportunity that we have in this country, and to not take advantage of that is sad. And that's one of the things that I'm hoping that this election cycle brings, is people that become more passionate and become and renew this energy and this fire and make them want to get out and get involved.
Yeah, because Cuba may have the best readers in the world, but they can't vote like we do. So
exactly, and, right? And it's something that people take it. They forget about it all. I think people take it's almost like it's such a given that they don't, that people don't think that it's that they have to do it. It's something you've always had, but no, you actually have to take advantage of it. You have to get out there and vote, and you have to show people what you believe in, because there's nothing worse than people saying how they would have changed things or what they would have done or what they think elected officials should have done, but they've never gone out and voted.
You know, I'm just speaking about numbers and how people are just coming alive because of Donald Trump. And we covered the GOP debate at the Reagan Library. Bob and I, we were live on feed, on the floor. I interviewed every candidate. I didn't get to interview Trump, but I was there for 14 hours. And boy, what a political eye-opener that was. I mean, it was a dream come true for a girl like me. I was with all my heroes, all of the CNN people that I grew up watching, and all of the Fox ladies, and I was just in heaven. I had more fun hanging out with them. But
oh yeah,
those two first Fox debates broke records in ratings of people tuning in to watch. That is like unheard of. Who would have ever had 42 million or whatever the number was to tune in to a presidential debate with 14 candidates that was in September, a whole year and 2 months away from the actual voting. I mean, it's insane. It tells you people we're just not the drones anymore. We're just not walking around beaten down, and we don't have any choices.
You're right. And I think people are tired of the divisiveness. I think that one of the things that the Obama administration has created is a lot of divisiveness. And you see a lot in the law enforcement community. I know that's kind of where we started with this conversation, but a lot of these things for law enforcement to see the divisiveness that our political leaders have brought forward with the anti-police and some of the things that happened, it really does hurt, and it does create a nation of people that are unsure of where to turn when they can't even trust their political leaders not to be divisive.
Exactly, exactly. So you've gotten some big support lately too. Share with us who's been backing you.
So I've got great endorsements. I've just been really, really, really excited and blessed with it. I have a ton of law enforcement support, which is great. I've got the County Sheriff's deputies, Antioch Police Department. I've also gotten the Contra Costa Republicans have endorsed me. That was a new endorsement. Very exciting. So that was a wonderful one that just came through. So it's been really exciting with the American Builders and Contractors have just stepped on board, which was great. Congressman Weichert out of the state of Washington. So the endorsements are definitely coming in. They've been very exciting.
How would you like Donald Trump to endorse you?
I would love it.
I can make a call.
I love all of the endorsements. You're on it. That's going to be your next job. You have nothing better to do, I'm sure.
Hey, I know his meat. Believe me, I know his press people. I've called them.
You know, this has just been, it's been a whirlwind. You know, I never would have thought I would have been in this place a couple of years ago. This wasn't on my radar. I've been blessed. It's been a wonderful thing. I announced about a year ago. In March last year is when I first announced. I can't even imagine. I can't even tell you how big of a deal all of this is to be sitting here talking to you about a campaign and to have the support that I've gotten. It's just wonderful. And, you know, I encourage everybody to go look at my website right now, you know, take a look at it. You know, it's NANCE2016, and it's got a lot of great information, more information on the endorsements and the backers.
It's a beautiful website, written beautifully. Your pictures are beautiful. It's a wonderful website. So tell me, did you just like wake up one day and say, I'm going to run for Congress? What brought you to this? Because this is a big deal. Putting yourself and your family out there, it's no joke.
It is. You know, it was a lot of talk. I have, you know, my husband's a police officer also. We've been married we have our 11-year anniversary coming up next month. And just really talking to my family and people in my inner circle about, hey, what do you guys think about this? Is this something we can do? And looking at it, I really do believe that the purpose of Congress is to take people that look like the community, that represent our communities, that represent these different groups, and go forward and bring these ideas to Washington, D.C. I don't think that it's something that has to be anything more than that. I think it's just people that have a good idea of what these districts want and need and where they're headed, going to Washington and putting those ideas forward. That's what a congressman should be.
Yeah, representing the people of your district who you would know more than anybody being a police officer. So what can we do to help you? What do you need? Where is your weak point? Where is your strong point? Let me have it.
So what do I need? I need support. I need people involved. I would, again, anybody that can go to the website, sign up to volunteer, to have a yard sign if you're in the area, to allow me to talk to your groups. Anybody that you think I should talk to, send me a message. You can contact me through the website or Facebook, and we will reach out to anybody that you think would be helpful in this campaign. And the other thing is, it takes money to run a campaign. So we're winning this $5, $10, $20 at a time, literally. As many people that can donate small amounts of money, I'll take big amounts too. But as many people that want to get involved and donate even $5 or $20, it makes a huge difference. And it shows that we're ready for that change, and we're ready for this difference. And that's where we're at right now.
Absolutely. And the energy and your just, yeah, I really think I just have, the tide is changing. That is how I feel. And I actually feel, I was really impressed that Christie is backing Trump, because I know he's going to be the next attorney general. And I think that, because Chris Christie was a federal prosecutor, and I have a feeling that with Christie on board with Trump, they're going to be relentless on Hillary in this email scandal, because Christie has the background of being a federal prosecutor. So I just really feel Super Tuesday, Donald, he's just going to, there's no stopping it. And you are right in the, you're just going to be caught up in the coattails of it, because everybody's feeling the same way. Let's make America great again. Get your trucker hat and roll down to the border with your million-dollar jet and your gold limousines like he did.
Just say stuff and do things that are going to get people involved and make people motivated and want to see the change that we all see as necessary. And I think that's the big part of it. let's all say what we feel and be honest and open and not afraid of the words. It, sometimes words are hard and sometimes it's hard to say it, but let's just say it. Let's say that we need some change here, and whether it's electing me and District 9, which would be a wonderful, wonderful thing that I think this district's absolutely ready for, or any other Republican in any other district, or who we're going to vote for president. Let's just get involved and talk about the things that aren't going right and fix them. That's the big part of it. Let's fix the problems.
And that was one of the reasons I was so drawn to Dr. Ben Carson, is he really is the first one that came out with in his prayer breakfast speech about how political correctness is killing our country, and it is. And it was starting to affect us politically, where you couldn't say anything that wasn't considered offensive. And we have to get away from that.
We're too easily offended and too unwilling to fix the problems that are making us offended. And that's the biggest problem. We absolutely have to change, and we have to fix problems when we see them. And we all have a social responsibility. We have a responsibility to step up, get involved, to volunteer, to help out, to do whatever it is in all aspects of our lives. And that's where I think that the political correctness has made us less willing to get involved. Let's get involved and help enact the change that we need to see in the world.
Exactly, exactly. And you be the fresh face that's leading in the direction of where we need to go. I couldn't think, you know, I mean, again, I just think it's the perfect storm, and people are fed up. I cannot wait until Super Tuesday. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. I think that the GOP is going to have to accept this, that an outsider is taking their toys. You know, it's like kids in the sandbox. They can't get along, and all of a sudden somebody's come in who doesn't need their toy. He has his own toy. And, you know, I think if the GOP's got to get, they've got to settle down, and they've got to get behind whoever the nominee is. Ronald Reagan said, it doesn't matter. You respect and you honor the person who's nominated for your party. And that is what the GOP has to do.
Well, and I said that earlier. We have to look at what's on the other side and what our other options are. And, you know, as a police officer, you have integrity. That's all I had for my entire career, is how you move forward, and you move forward in an honest manner with integrity. And Hillary has shown over and over that that's not what she has, and not how she's going to run our country or her personal life or her emails or anything else. So integrity isn't there. And then I just can't get behind socialism. So there we are. And as a party, we have to realize that that's what we're combating on the other side, and that's what we want. So we have to, whether there's a little bit of differences or not, we have to move forward with winning a Republican and getting a Republican president in there.
Absolutely. Speaking of police, it's been the deadliest start of the year for police officers, and I got these statistics yesterday, and I wanted to talk to you about them and then obviously let our listeners know. But from January 1 to today, and actually one was severely wounded today. I haven't heard if she's made it, but we've lost 13 police officers. That's a lot.
I know.
Guns, we lost 10. We've lost 10 officers this year by gunfire. That is up 1,000%. Since last year at this time. We lost one in an airplane crash on duty, an auto, and then a vehicular assault. They're all males. But this has got to stop. This has got to stop with the respect that our police are getting. And it's starting from our president. And how do you feel?
I agree with you. I think that it really does start from an anti-police movement that started, and it's not, policing's hard. It's a very, very difficult job, and it's not something that everybody's going to get involved in, and I understand that. But we need police officers, we need good, strong police departments and police forces. And you take into the amount of officers that have been killed or injured, that doesn't even take into account the number of officers that have been shot at. I know we've had just this week in Stockton area, we had an officer that was shot at, not hurt. These are things that happen on a daily basis, and it's scary. And we absolutely have to look at why this is happening, and we have to make it stop. We have to change this demographic, the dynamic that we have going on between the elected officials and the police. We have to open some lines of communication. And I think it is absolutely inherent on our police departments that they have to come forward and open lines of communication with the communities also. And they have to be one together, and we have to work together to solve this problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Another article that I read yesterday is you basically have a better chance of being struck by lightning than being shot by a cop, no matter what color you are. So there's 318
yes.
million people in this country, and under 1,000 were killed by police officers last year. So your percentages are pretty, pretty, pretty slim that you're going to be killed by a police officer.
It's very true. And I know one of the things we talk a lot about with the community groups that I speak to and children that I speak to in high schools is about how to handle encounters with the police. And it's absolutely imperative that no matter what, you start off with complying and you move forward from there. And there is an opportunity for people with our criminal justice system and with everything else that happens to you. If you don't feel that you're being treated fairly by the police, there's options after that. But we have to start with compliance, and that's how that's where we avoid confrontation. It's really, really hard sometimes to teach and to explain, but we have to have that to move forward. And the violence against and the attacking of the officers merely because they're police is going to continue as long as we have the divisiveness of our elected officials and people that are bringing down the hate on the police.
So I have to ask you, I know this is probably, I'm probably going to lose my respect in the radio world, but I just have to ask you, did you work on the Lacey Peterson case?
I did not.
No,
you
didn't.
That was in Modesto.
Those who don't remember. Yeah. Oh, that was Modesto. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm so
very
sorry.
Close
well,
to us, but it was just a little bit
more. I forgot it was Modesto. I was thinking she was in Stockton. Okay, forget it. But that was a big case that came out of Central Valley.
Yeah, we were all very
I had to ask.
We all watched it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was a nation. I mean, it was a worldwide story. So,
yes.
Once again, your website is Catherine Nance. And
it's Nance 2016.
Oh,
Nance 2016, yes.
And I have it on my Facebook, Maureen Enner. You can go to my Facebook. You can go to the California Connection Facebook. You can go to our website at www.california-connection.net. We will have Catherine's website there. We will have all of her information. Catherine, you feel free to send me over anything you want me to promote. We will put it on our website. We have the best publicist. She's Bob got her this week, basically. I have to buy it. But he got the public, but he has to do big stuff in New York. So, you know, I'm just a little girl here. So, but we have an excellent publicist who works our social media. She is a genius. I don't even know how she does it, but she gets us out there to thousands of people every week, and we're definitely grateful to that. And I just can't think of somebody I would rather be behind than someone like you. I just met you face to face in December at an event. I had been told several times to interview you by a friend who knows you. And then we happened to have met, and here you are on the show, and I hope you come back. How are the numbers looking? Do you have any kind of polls going? Do you have any kind of feedback coming back?
So right now, I'm the only Republican in the race. So it is just me on the Republican side, which has been very good.
Yeah,
it's been definitely leading to a lot of support and a lot of groups being willing to get involved in that. So things are looking great. You know, we are working on fundraising. We have a lot of events coming up. So if you look at the on the website, we have all of our events listed. My Facebook page is Catherine Nance for Congress. So we're on there. I love to have followers on Facebook. And then just, again, any donations just to help me get this message out, because that's what it's going to take to win this race is ongoing of getting our message out.
And your message is improving education in your district, which your district, you have there's very poor pockets in your district because it's it's farmers, it's field workers, right? I mean, you have there's a poverty problem in your district.
We do have a huge poverty problem in the district. You know, one of the things that happened here is we did go through bankruptcy as a city, Stockton did, and that really did impact the entire county, which did impact this whole district. And so there is a lot of poverty here, a lot of educational issues, and then a very, very high, working really hard on those things. And those are things that I'm really hoping to combat and make sure that we can move on with from that, because that's the only way we're going to improve our economy is if people are safe.
And do you have a campaign headquarters in Stockton?
I do. We just, we're opening. We're very close to being completely open, hoping to have an open house pretty quick there. So we just opened a campaign headquarters in Stockton, yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, let us know when that is. And, you know, I sent you a couple of ideas that I had. I hope you'll consider some of the ideas I had. I have, you know, a lot of contacts, and we have great people on our show who are really fighting the same fight that you are, and they believe in what you're saying. And I really truly believe there are far more conservatives out there, but it has just become so nasty that if you say you are one, you're just immediately hated because of what, again, the divisiveness in this country. And we have to also stop that. We have to stop criticizing and judging if somebody is a Democrat or a Republican. We have to just all come together. It's one country. We're going to break apart. You know, it's united we stand, together we fall.
I completely agree with that. You know, sometimes it's hard being a police officer, going out in public and telling people you're a police officer. You're never really sure what response you're going to get. Sometimes going out in public and telling people you're a Republican sometimes garners the same response. So for me, it's something I'm proud of on both fronts, being a police officer and being a Republican, and I'm not afraid to say it and to tell people and to shout my message, but I understand sometimes it does put people off, and it shouldn't be like that. We should all be able to understand that maybe we do have some differences. We can all still build up this whole country together.
Right. It's just, yeah, it's just like I said, united we stand, together we fall. We're all in this together, and we all have a choice to make, and we all pick a path in our life, and you choose who you want to be around, and choose how you want your life to be. That is why we live in the United States of America. We have freedom, liberty, and justice here. You have protected us from the justice system. Now get out there, get elected. I want to go to D.C. When you win this campaign, I am going to go back to D.C. because my son lives there, so I have a place to stay. And I want to see you. He loves that. I want to see you. I really want to see you win. And if there's anything that we can do at California Connection, you know, you've got a voice here. Anytime, anything you need, I'm more than happy to have you guys have you back on. Bob would love to talk to you because he has his concerns about the state too.
I would love to come back and talk to you guys more. I love it. Anytime you need somebody or you're interested or, you know, I send you something that you want to chat about, let me know. Make myself available for you.
Well, I certainly will. And again, if Cuba can have the best literacy rate, Stockton should be able to have the best literacy rate. I think that should be your new campaign slogan.
I absolutely agree with that, and I am going to do some more research on Cuba and how they got to be so literate, because now I'm very, very curious.
Yeah,
because I'm
very
like you, I like to read up on that stuff.
Oh yeah, actually, my son told me that, so I know it's factual because he works for a congressman in D.C., so he has to be on it. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for joining me today. Bob will be back with us next Friday, where we have Diamond and Silk, who are Trump stumpers, and we have Dan Bongino. So thank you again, Catherine. Everybody have a great weekend, and thanks for listening to California Connection. I am Maureen Enner, and thank you, Catherine.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Wonderful time.
Have a great weekend. Okay, great. Have a
you
great
too.
Weekend. Go to her website, Nance2016. Go to my Facebook page. Go to California Connection's Facebook page. Go to our website. We have all of her information. Everybody have a great weekend. We will see you next Friday again. Bob will be back, and we will have Diamond and Silk and our favorite Dan Bongino. Bye-bye, everybody.